My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live. Sports time out. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Yeah, we got it all. Fans, faith, fun, and a little bit of feistiness as well as we take on sports today. The My Michelle Live podcast, every day we have a different look at a different side of the news. It's like flipping through a newspaper, but in every story, we dig a little deeper for a message of hope, inspiration, and what we call the God story. Now, joining us in our quest for the ultimate sports in our Sports Timeout broadcast by My Michelle Live is the guys. Are you ready, gentlemen, to sports?
Yes, I'm going to be.
Woo! Sports!
Sports!
Yeah!
Sports. Yeah. Oh, that's pitiful. I love it. How you doing, boys?
Awesome.
Excellent. Chocolate. Excellent. Chocolate. And I hope you're doing well, too, as you're watching. Chocolate. We have a lot to talk about today. Now, let me introduce you to our table of fellas. We have with us a man who has been a veteran sports reporter from way back when, you know, they used tin cans instead of microphones, I think. Rich Hallstrom is also our Rich Hallstrom is also our encyclopedia of sports, Rich.
Actually, there were
encyclopedia Rich
way back when,
the encyclopedia.
You know, we can't hear you over the sound bites. Can you guys even hear the sound bites?
Just barely.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, you'll have to take my word for it. Then we have with us Garrick Payne.
Get ready to get...
That's right. Get ready to get pinged. Garrick Payne, pastor, coach, chaplain, and all-around cool guy. We have with us a man who's a sports reporter, photographer, coach, and fan, and author of a spectacular book, Breaking Yesterday. This book is a winner. He is Brent R. Baker.
Author, photographer, Brent R. Baker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We have with us, we call him lovingly the Wookiee of the Year. He doesn't have his camera on, but once you meet him and see his shoe size, we could all fit all of our feet within one of his shoes, I'm pretty sure. He is...
I'm going to show my shoes on camera?
We're expecting it. He's Wookiee of the Year.
I don't know.
Wookiee of the Year, Josh.
Wookiee of the Year, Josh McMillan.
Wookiee. And then we have with us a man who has ridden the Hurricane Ida and brought it into submission. He is the author of Athlete in the Game of Life, this book here, which you'll want to pick up and find out how you can stretch and strengthen your way to a healthier you. He is the one and only Matt Peel. What a guy.
What a guy.
What a guy. Ah, gee, what a guy. And what guys we have with us. Matt, particularly, I just want to say we're all real glad that you weathered that storm. We have an update on My Michelle Live from what it was like on the ground going through the devastation. Let's take that on. Talk to me about how things are going in the aftermath of Hurricane Ida.
Well, I have to give it to all the respective power companies that are working the entire region. They put some pretty aggressive dates as far as getting power back on. Where the house that I'm currently in has power, where I live across the street does not have power. So it's, kind of splitting that way. But overall, the entire region should be up to power by the middle of next week. So, but from your respective homes, imagine not having power for a week. You know, how would that feel to you in 90 plus degree weather and humidity? So it's a little rough for some people.
Yeah, it's very rough. I'm sorry that you had to go through it. It does bring us kind of like sports. You know, you come together as a team with your friends, your neighbors, with folks around you, and sometimes people you haven't even met. I mean, you're probably seeing a lot of that happen.
Yeah, you absolutely do. You know, we're all in the same boat, regardless of how much money is in your wallet. You might be able to recover faster than someone else, but when a tree hits your house or your car, you still got to deal with it, or debris in your yard. It does bring everybody pretty evenly down. And then, of course, one of the big problems that we're having is the gas stations are closed. So you only have a couple gas stations, and you got to wait in line. And one of the sheriffs across the lake said, you know, don't be a gas hole. So you got to be nice when you're at the pump, you know. Don't be the gas hole, because there's only a limited amount available until power comes on. And even if power comes on, you know, they still have to fill up the tanks and have to bring the trucks in, and the stores have to get the employees back if employees have evacuated. So it's a real mess down here. From a sports side, let's think of it from a sports side. Let's take it down a little bit even lower on the level. Let's look at high school sports. Kids are out of school. There's some areas where the schools have been obliterated. So what are you going to do for high school football? For if the stadium's damaged, how are these kids now going to have their senior year seasons? Especially these guys, you know, we already have all the COVID BS that we know is going on with tests. Or do we have games? Do we not have a game? Who sat next to who 75 feet away that accidentally farted? You know, we don't really know what's going on. But you add this into the mix, and now maybe some high school sports are in jeopardy.
Yeah. Well, high school sports, sometimes academics, how do you get to school? How much damage? We're still looking into the damage. 40 people have now reportedly, as the last time I checked, succumbed to the effects of Hurricane Ida. And sometimes it is the aftermath that is the worst, with the heat, lack of electricity, inability to have air conditioning, and lack of clean environment, water soaked, and how do you get food? What if your food stores are destroyed because of water? This is where people need to pull together, and this is where we need to be thinking, not just our own team in our own house, but looking out towards the other players in our community when a disaster strikes. We can learn from Hurricane Ida. And Matt, I know that you have some limited time because you don't have electricity yet, so you have to kind of reserve what you're doing. But I wanted to get your thoughts on bringing sports up to the professional level. You mentioned high school. The Superdome seemed to weather the storm all right, but the Saints have a new season. And from what I hear, the game with the Packers is going to be moving to Jacksonville.
It is going to be moving to Jacksonville. The team is currently practicing in Houston because, again, there's no power where the facility is. And there's slated to have no power until maybe Wednesday of next week. So you can't very well practice leading up to that and then with no power anywhere and then have a game just a few short days later. So you're right. There's no structural damage to the Superdome. There's nothing wrong with it except the fact that there's no power.
There's no power. And how do people get there? You know, I think bringing that many people into the Superdome when roads are still unsure and there's damage everywhere is highly irresponsible.
It is. And it's a good thing we were going to Jacksonville, and I've read articles about why they chose Jacksonville. And you can believe what they say or not. Obviously, it's a home game, right? So we're giving away one home game. We're already down one. If you remember from Katrina, the whole entire season had to be played away because of the damage to the dome. Well, this year, the goal is hopefully just that first game, as we now have the rest of September is going to basically be away games anyways. That's the normal schedule, so it works out okay. And then that first week of Sunday, we play home against the Giants, and that'll give a couple weeks of power and infrastructure to come back in. And you know, the goal would be to have at least that second home game be our home opener at that point in time, the first weekend of October.
Yeah, let's hope so, because when you've gone through a disaster, that's something that can bring people together, sports. Anyone else want to ask a question of Matt while we still have him here?
Matt, what's the input from players about playing a home game away, and especially for a brand new starting quarterback, Jameis Winston?
Yeah, the players are pretty upbeat. They understand what's going on. They know this is not a season-long kind of banishment from the town. You know, we got to do what we got to do for this first game, away game. Power will be back. Then they can come in and at least have their normal practices and go about the normal schedule from there. As we know, you know, 1-0, 0-1, you can still win the Super Bowl if you're 0-1. You know, I'm not saying we're going to, but it's not that drastic when you think of the whole season of having to be gone. So, you know, they figure fine, we'll weather the first game away, and then come back and have your normal practices at home and prepare. And then the goal would be for that second home game to be back in the dome, and the rest of the season flow as normal.
Yeah, we are pulling for you there, Matt, and I want to thank you for making time for us in the midst of a bit of disaster and cleanup. You're part of the family here, and we appreciate you.
Well, I thank you, and look forward to, if we got Wi-Fi next Friday, to be back on with the full show next Friday.
Heck yeah. We want to see your pretty face, man. We want to see your pretty face. As long as we're talking Saints. I wanted to talk about the NFL. Big news as we lead into the regular season soon. This was a big story. New England Patriots cut Cam Newton. That was like, wow, okay. Did anyone expect that?
You know, you saw the writing on the wall a little bit. And part of it is because they can save a lot of money by going with Mac. And
Mac, he's inconsistent.
Really good in the preseason.
Mac was pretty consistent, Josh. And Cam, he didn't have two winning seasons in a row, you know?
Well, and, you know, former MVP, really one of the problems is his shoulder's not what it used to be. And he had some good performances in the preseason. He had some good performances last year even. And I think that he has a chance to still be a quarterback in this league, though I think what you're more likely to see is, rather than him being a quarterback in the league, is him becoming a gadget player that's a tight end that can come in like wild card packages and the like. But Mac Jones, the big story here is Mac Jones. I mean, I said it after the draft. If there's one person that landed with the best chance to succeed this year in terms of the quarterbacks, it was Mac Jones. That is the guy that is a perfect fit. He's very cerebral, and he's done a lot to win the room there. And I think he has a good chance to do really well with Bill Belichick. He's kind of like, he reminds me of Tom Brady in some ways, and where he's very cerebral in how he plays the game. He reads really well. You know, like, Tom Brady has never been the otherworldly physical talent. You know, that's not his game. He's not the physical freak. Cam Newton, he came to the league, he was the physical freak. You know, he was like the LeBron James of football in a way, because he was just different than other people. Mac Jones isn't that way. You know, he looks kind of like Tom Brady when he was drafted. You know, he's not this ripped Adonis, but he is a good football player and he plays well with his head. So I'm excited to see what happens there. I'm also excited to see where Cam lands and if he's going to find a backup job, or if they are going to try to move him to tight end.
Yeah, he hasn't been really open to that, though, Josh. He hasn't been in the past backup positions.
But look at how he treated this competition with Mac Jones. You know, he knew it was a competition for a starting job, and he said, you know, like, he was spending a lot of time doing the best he could to be a good teammate and a good mentor for Mac Jones. And everything that was said about him this offseason, everything that he said this offseason, has shown to me a lot of maturity from the veteran player and a lot of willingness to realize that, you know, like, I'm here to mentor this kid. I want to help his transition be good. You know, he didn't pull like an Aaron Rodgers or a Brett Favre in this situation. You know, he was humble and he was a mentor. And I like that from him. And I think that could show that he's willing to do what he needs to do to get back on the football field.
Says, don't worry about me, right?
It shocked me, actually, just because given his history and his real arrogance, I would say, not just confidence, but to the point of arrogance. And so that was really encouraging to see that from him. And I think that that gives him hope for more hope for the future.
Possibly.
I think there are enough quarterbacks getting injured and quarterback opportunities where I still think he's got a shot at landing a starting position somewhere.
Yeah,
give it 2 weeks and he will have a job.
I think I agree with Josh. I think actually there was something a little frightening from the Death Star perspective of having a Saban quarterback end up with Belichick, you know. So Mac Jones in New England was just like, man, that is a fit that should make at least the AFC East be very, very concerned about the long term. Yeah. Plus, you know, I mean, yes, I agree with what you said about Cam and some maturity, but there was also the what they were calling misunderstanding over COVID protocols that got him out, you know, and that kind of stuff.
That's something I wanted to take on too.
That kind of, you know, I don't know, again, that could mean just about anything, but that sort of incident with Bill Belichick isn't going to fly real well.
Well, he wasn't vaccinated. He didn't want to comment on that, but he had to succumb to some of the protocols of the unvaccinated. But they said Belichick said his COVID status had nothing to do with it. But haughty people who say they're in the know disagree. We'll never really know.
I'll say, like, Bill Belichick does not care about being politically correct. I mean, you know, he had a guy in Tom Brady who was like the one person in the NFL who was buddies with Trump, you know, like Tom Brady was a big Trump supporter and Bill Belichick didn't care about that. He had Tom Brady. He cares about football. So I don't think that that's an issue. I don't think he cares about the political.
I agree.
Correct. And look at what he did with the mask last year. You know, half the games he wore a mask with the nose cut out, or like, so it was like a short, like, crop top mask that was under his nose. He doesn't care. He cares about football. I don't think so. I don't buy into that.
Yeah. You know, you got it. You got it right there. I almost wonder, not to over talk this story, but I never really thought that Cam was a natural fit for the Patriots. I just never thought that was a comfortable fit. It was just like, you know, wearing a sweater that just didn't fit right. My thought.
No, I completely agree. He did not. It just seemed odd that he went there to begin with. I mean, I think they were just looking for someone. And so,
thank you.
It just didn't seem like a good fit.
Now, more news from the NFL. Miami Dolphins. Brian Flores wants high-character players on his roster. What does that mean, Rich? And what does that mean for folks like Deshaun Watson?
Well, that's exactly the topic that Brian Flores was addressing earlier this week, because there's been a lot of trade rumors, and some of those trade rumors have involved the Miami Dolphins and trying to work out a deal for Deshaun Watson. You know, somebody needs something to talk about. That's why this stuff comes around. And I think Brian Flores was sending a message to management that says, we got our guys. We know who our guys are. Tua Tagovailoa is my quarterback, and I know how to run a program, and we're not going to get mixed up in all of this. Brian Flores is a big time player and doesn't want to deal with that. You know, like Mike Singletary once said, you can't win with them. You can't win without them. You can't win with them. I don't want them, you know? so that's people trying to make an issue out of something that's not an issue yet. And
okay, fair enough. Then we won't make a big issue out of it either.
The bigger controversy out of this, though, is that he's basically publicly saying he doesn't want to trade with the Cowboys.
Ah, okay. Well, can you blame him? People are calling the Cowboys one of the most overrated teams in the NFL. So, boom, what do you do?
Perpetually, they are.
Perpetually.
When was the last time Cowboys won it? When was the last time the Cowboys won something, like 1995?
Well, and that's also why we knew KJ wouldn't go to the Cowboys, because he's KJ. High character guy.
Oh, so. Guys, you know, I'm sorry.
The Raiders. Yeah.
Many of us here are Seahawks fans.
It's better than the Cowboys.
Was that painful? KJ,
the Raiders aren't
right.
going anywhere either, so it doesn't matter.
Hey, me, KJ Wright, guys. KJ Wright.
I mean, that breaks my heart.
He wanted to start and end his career with the Seattle Seahawks. Now he's going to the LA, the no longer LA, the Las Vegas Traders.
Two stops ago.
He's going to the Traders.
The LV Raiders.
LV.
Not the LA.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it makes a lot of sense because there wasn't.
No, it doesn't.
You needed to see what your young guys can bring, right? You have guys like Cody Barton.
No, we don't.
Who shows a lot of potential. And I'd have loved to let KJ be here, but you got to let people like Cody Barton and Jordan Brooks and, you know, Taylor on the field. Like you gotta see what these guys have. And, you know, he's at the end of his career. I understand where the Seahawks are coming from. Like he wanted to start and they would have wanted him as a depth piece, which I know he's a top 100 player. I love him. But at the same time, like when you have young guys out there that you feel are ready to go and, you know, some of them are at the tail end of their contracts, like you need to let them go.
Okay. Maybe, but
Bill Belichick though.
What's that?
Michelle, I was just going to say, I mean, you look at the success that Belichick has had in New England. And the reason is because of the fact that they have not gotten sentimental over players.
Okay, I mean, that's true. But let me ask this question.
Just one, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't over sentiment that he was there. He was getting it done.
He was getting it done.
Seahawks, but if there's one flaw that we have is, especially as fans, but, you know, we tend to have guys a little bit past their pull date. So
yeah, because there's a sense of loyalty here.
Exactly.
I get that. However, Rich, the other side of that coin is leadership. Sometimes, you know, you can't argue that the Seahawks, despite Garrick's point, has been a winning team consistently. Some of that might have to do with holding on to people that are part of a team leadership foundation.
Yeah, I think that's the number one thing that Pete Carroll also tries to devise every year. But there's going to be changes in the National Football League because we all know, besides being called the National Football League, the NFL stands for not for long. And it'll never change, and that'll be the way it is.
Right? I think this also is an example of the other kind of COVID cut, where because of the big hit, big reduction in the salary cap this year due to the losses, you know, the COVID related losses. So whether or not they would have kept KJ anyway with those other issues of other players coming up, it's hard to say, but it really took away their options as far as, you know, some of these other contracts go when you drop your salary cap by $30 million. So there's a lot of those sorts of things going on around the league where some of these players that are maybe just past their prime that might be due another large contract are finding those a lot harder to come by when you've got younger, cheaper guys coming up. And it does put pressure on teams like the Seahawks, where you've got a guy like Barton. You know, one of you said that, you know, his, you know, some of these rookie contracts are coming to an end and they need to make decisions on those guys in the future. It's like, are you going to extend this guy or not? And how are we going to make that decision if he's a backup and only playing, you know, 15, 20% of the snaps? So I really don't like losing KJ Wright. He's, you know, as solid a player as you're going to get. But I think from the Belichickian ruthless standpoint of keeping your franchise near the top, I think it was the right move.
All right. Well, you have to know something, guys. I am going to err on the side of the usual Pete Carroll type of coaching as we do Sports Timeout. I'm going to hang on to you guys. I'm not looking for younger, stronger, smarter, handsomer. You guys, well, good, you're my team.
You brought Matt in. I was a little worried.
Yeah, but you got to look at what our contracts are about to do. Though.
That's true.
Well,
given
you
all
know
the COVID stuff going on. Yeah.
Speaking
Michelle
of,
said she paid me double next year.
Hey, we don't want to talk about that with the other players.
Wait a minute.
Sorry,
is it getting paid?
Whoa. Awkward. So you mentioned COVID, Brent. COVID continues to be a player in every sport. Jacksonville
song, nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
We'll have you sing it later.
Sorry.
Jacksonville Jaguars Urban Myers says that vaccination status was a factor in roster cuts. That's crazy. Come on. NBA, it has such strict COVID-19 protocols for unvaccinated players and teams. In fact, if you are a fully vaxxed team, you can go out to restaurants and clubs and bars. But if you're not, you just can't. Washington Nationals Vice President Bob Boone resigned over the team's COVID vaccine requirements. So, man, it's getting everywhere. All of this while there are many court cases that are taking on vaccine requirements and having some success. All of this while we're getting more information that those who are vaccinated, you might have a less of a chance of getting COVID. It doesn't guarantee you won't. We don't know how long you're going to have immunity. You're likely not immune against differing variants, and you can carry and transmit it just like anybody else. So how far down this road are we going to go, gentlemen, before we start to get normal, but we also can say, well, okay, wait a minute, we've gone too far. Go ahead, Brent. Or was it Garrick?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was Garrick.
I had started, but it's really interesting. And I think the bottom line is time will tell, right? I mean, literally, this is all so new. And I learned something from an HR professional just yesterday that it is actually illegal to be asked your vaccine status as a prospect, okay? If you've been hired or if you've been offered a position, then you can be asked your vaccine status, but it is illegal, according to the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, It is illegal to ask someone's vaccine status prior to hiring.
And let me tell you one of the reasons why. One of the reasons why, just to put it in perspective, is that let's just say we're all applying for a job and they find out that, Rich Hallstrom is in a wheelchair. Well, we're not going to hire someone that's in a wheelchair. Or maybe they realize I'm a woman. They're not going to hire me because I'm a woman. Or maybe they find out that Josh has an autoimmune disorder, which he probably doesn't, but he has an autoimmune disorder or he has some kind of illness that, he can't take a vaccination. That's discrimination. That's why, Garrick.
And it's exactly the same reason why if you are being hired as a woman, they cannot ask you, do you intend to get pregnant? I mean, it's a personal health related question that they cannot ask. And yet all these lines are being blurred over and run over. And that's why I say time will tell, because as some of these lawsuits come forward and as they prevail in them, especially, it's gonna really make the landscape very, very interesting.
Okay, so let's say Jacksonville, they say that vaccination status was a factor in roster cuts. How does that apply to what Garrick just brought to the table? How does that apply, guys?
If you're employed, that's different.
Well, I guess they're quasi-employed.
Well, it applies, Michelle, because, sorry, Garrick, let me just jump in here real quick and say that this has set off a pair of dominoes in motion, because right after Urban Meyer said that, the NFLPA is now currently looking into the situation.
Yes.
Because they are not happy with those comments even coming out to that level. And there's going to be a full investigation of this. Mm-hmm. So we have not heard the last. And
he quickly walked it back, too.
Yeah, he quickly walked
there
it.
There you
he
go.
Quickly walked it back.
Too late, but yeah.
And Josh, do you think there's going to be some lawsuits from some of the cut players? I mean.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how much is going to come of it. Again, the NFL Players Association is a complete and utter joke. I mean, I would argue it's almost worse than the previous commissioner of the Pac-12, up there with some of these other guys we've dealt with here in Seattle. It's bad. But I think some of the players individually, absolutely, they're going to get some representation. And I wouldn't doubt if we see some push for some changes in the NFL Players Association.
Absolutely. Josh, I got to concur with you because they shouldn't have entered into this current agreement the way it is structured. I mean, remember that these COVID protocols were agreed upon between the NFLPA and the league, but the players in certain instances and to a certain extent didn't even get to vote on this current program. So, I mean, it is a fire train, you know, it is a train wreck that turned into the Chicago Fire and is now turning into whatever you want.
Hurricane Ida. On it.
Yeah, whatever label you want to put in. I mean, and Urban Meyer's trying to establish himself as a pro head coach, and that's not the way to do it.
It was not smart.
He got some old.
He's
Ohio,
ready to fake a heart attack any day now.
Some old Ohio State habits coming up there. So, you know, when you're the college coaches, you know, they are much more the grand poobah of their domains than in the NFL. Yes. And you don't, you know, for now, we don't have players unions. And you have ADs that look the other way as long as you win. And so I think he's finding that the atmosphere is a little different in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, and I think for all the negativity and they've earned their reputation in the NFLPA for all of you guys' negative comments, but unions are there for a reason and they are to represent the players. And so I'm hoping that they will step up to the plate and actually do their job to help these players who are finding themselves in these situations. Like this one pro player that I know, who I don't want to mention his name, who is a very talented player, but he is not getting looked at because the first question that he's asked, which I'm going to be telling him that it's illegal, is his vaccination status. And that's just not right.
Well, as a private entity, yeah, I mean, do they have the choice? I mean, your kids have to be vaccinated to go to a public school, but what about a private entity, Josh?
Well, they can get an exemption for that. But yeah, it's, you know, the thing that really bugs me is the path that we're going down with all this. I don't know if you guys have been following what's going on in Australia, but South Australia, one of their states, is investigating an app that all of their residents will have to use. Mm-hmm. This app sends them a random message that they have to respond to within 15 minutes with their location and a picture to confirm where they are. Otherwise, they'll get fined.
Well, you know, and this is on sports end, but I noticed that there was a story about Eatonville High School's football team and in here in Washington, where these kids, I believe it was only like during practice, but they were wearing ankle bracelets.
Ankle freaking bracelets, like criminals. What does that do to a kid's psyche? Boom, boom. Yeah. Come on. Epic fail.
So I guess it's for quote contact tracing purposes. But once, you know, I fully believe in the slippery slope. Once you start there and you've got, you know, kids saying, oh yeah, it's a great idea, yada, yada, yada. Well, you know, when it becomes, you have to wear it all the time. And
yeah,
These things never stay confined to their origin space. Brent, just like the virus.
If we look at history, big things and terrible things don't happen all at once.
Exactly.
They happen one at a time, and we just kind of go with the flow, and it seems okay on the outside.
And it's for the public good. And it's because you love your neighbors. And questioning it it's hate. Questioning it, you're killing people. Wine, and not think, or even allow things to play out. Again, we know that people who are vaccinated can carry and transmit. So the argument of you just are, well, it's just loving to your neighbors. No, it's protecting yourself. Go ahead, protect yourself. Many of the people on this panel right now are vaccinated. Great. Protect yourself. Some of us are absolutely not. Neither of us have a problem with loving our neighbor, though. or it was there to, you know, we wanted to flatten the curve. Well, the curve has been flat.
Yeah, yeah, right? You're from Eastern Washington, Brent, so yeah, you don't count.
I'll give you that.
I can say though that it's like, just, I mean, you know, anecdotal evidence is not science. I understand that, but it's like, when I'm looking around, I'm not seeing any difference between the vaccinated and the vaccinated and how often they're getting it and how badly they're getting it. Now, the numbers are, they're publishing say otherwise, but
some numbers do, and then other numbers don't. And you wonder, what can you believe when you can manipulate the numbers? And we see that every day, and people are so set in their ways. You can't go ahead.
The broadest study that's been done to date has been conducted in the country of Israel. And in Israel, they recognize that your own immunities, if you've had COVID, are actually better. They showed to be performing better than the vaccine. And so that's a part of why.
After they vaccinated freaking 80, 90% of their people,
I know.
And they're like, exactly. Oh, sorry, our bad.
And when you get the vaccine, it wipes out your natural immunities. And they told me after, because I had had COVID back in December, they told me that I still should get vaccinated. But because I understand natural immunities, I said no. And I had a recent test. I mean, this is 9 months later, and I still have antibodies in my system. And antibodies really aren't even the key. It's the T cell immunity. But that's for another show.
It is indeed. But the importance to sports today is that we have a lot of people making off-the-cuff decisions, criminalizing, penalizing, and firing, in some cases, people based on science that hasn't been tested, proved, poked, prodded, or even allowed to be questioned. And anyone who presents an alternative idea, like my hat says, canceled. That's right. Yeah, so which I'm still, by the way, in YouTube jail for another week. At any rate, as we move forward, a couple other stories. I wanted to go from mentioning a little story. The little story is Little League. Michigan beat Ohio to win the state's first Little League World Series championships. It's what, 1959, Rich? And then I wanted to take it from there, in the interest of time, to the great big stage, and that's the Paralympics.
Well, the Paralympics are going on. This is their second week. They're going to conclude on the 12th and the 13th. Jessica Long has now become one of the greatest swimmers of all time in U.S. history, Olympic or Paralympics. 28 medals, 2 gold, 2 silver, 1 bronze. At this Paralympics alone, it's her 5th Paralympics. She was in a Super Bowl commercial that we've talked about before, chronicling her life story. The interesting thing, the last race she was in, the 4x100 meter relay earlier this week, the United States was in 4th place. And the leg in that race, Morgan Stickney from Cary, North Carolina, came all the way from 4th place to help the United States win a gold medal. Now, in the pool, the United States has won 30 medals during this Paralympics. 25 of them have been won by women. So once again, we see the dominance of the U.S. swimming program and some of the greatest swimmers of all time. I would have to put Jessica Long right in the same category with Katie Ledecky and all the other ones that we talk about during the Olympics. Michelle, great medal haul for the United States. As I talked about before, Chuck Aoki and the wheelchair rugby team, they came in silver.
Oh man,
got a silver.
Those guys
in the
are
final
crazy
again.
You know, I think snowboarders have gotten a rep of being crazy, you know, just being a little bit off. They hold nothing to Paralympic rugby players. Hello, my gosh, that's brutal fun.
I mean, that's my that I will have to say is my favorite Paralympic sport.
Yes, yes.
Because that is where you have the legal right to take the stuffings out of somebody and they don't haul and they don't haul you away. That's why it's my favorite.
It almost seems embarrassing to go from that story to soccer for obvious reasons.
Well, the fact that the United States and El Salvador ended up in a tie is a little embarrassing for the first round of World Cup.
I know what qualifying. Happened for crying out loud watching that game last night. What freaking happened? It was a pretty dull game. The only endearing thing about the game was the brothers who play on opposite teams. both live in the United States, but both play on respectively on the different teams. Alex Roldan on El Salvador and Christian Roldan plays for the U.S. men's national team. The endearing thing, the only thing really worth watching, was at the end of the game where they traded shirts. That was sweet. There you go. That's it.
Yeah, when that's the highlight of the game, then you know that it has
not been the greatest
match of all time.
And to be really honest, I could have used a win for the U.S. because my team, the Seattle Sounders in the MLS, lost to their rival Portland, scoring nothing, playing horribly. And what's interesting is Christian Roldan plays for the Seattle Sounders as well as the U.S. men's national team. And up until the loss, the embarrassing loss, before the embarrassing loss to El Salvador, or not loss, yes, loss, they lost. Sorry. No, it was a tie. Lost I'm so messed up by the Portland game. He had a perfect record for the year. Every game that he played in, he won. Now he's on the slump. Let's keep him off the field. Anyway, let's hope the men's national team can pull it out later.
I have a question for Garrick. Garrick, does this point out the value, or even more of the value, of Christian Pulisic to the national team, considering he did not play in that game?
Well, he hasn't played in all of our game. Yeah, I mean, he has been missing for multiple games.
Author, photographer, Brent R.
I don't know why the thing's making noise. I don't know why it's doing it. I'm sorry. Stop it. I guess, Brent, we want to hear from you. It won't stop. It just wants to go on. Go.
You're good. And my dogs are going crazy.
What could I possibly say after that?
I know, right?
Christian Pulisic is a great player, and he definitely brings something to the squad. I think we may have, if we want to segue here a little bit, we may have experienced a little bit of what the Mariners have been facing, because El Salvador, compared to playing against Mexico and some of the other powers that we have played more recently, it was kind of a letdown game. And unfortunately, I mean, these players are human too. And so I think Pulisic would have made a difference had he been there. But we had plenty and there's plenty of depth on that team. That's one of the things that they've done really well, is building depth into the U.S. men's national team.
I agree, but we're getting the season is getting long in the tooth. They're playing for their respective other teams. They are dealing with not just their teams, but then their teams are part of other leagues. And, you know, I just say that, you know, you can expect upsets and weird things to happen when you're at this point in the season. And this is a natural, as you brought it in, Garrick, segue to a little baseball. We'll get Josh's baseball report. My, oh my, Josh, let us know what's going on in the world of baseball, especially as you follow the team that is the ultimate underdog.
Oh, yeah. So some big news here. One, I mean, this Mariners team, they keep on thinking that they're folding it up, it's done, and then they come right back and they win a series off the Astros, shutting them out in two straight games. Which is, I mean, that's huge. You can't, like, that doesn't happen. You know, these Astros are a great team. This is the first time they've been shut out twice in a row, I think, since 2014, if I remember right.
Wow.
I correct me if I'm wrong, but that, yeah, it's crazy. And one of the big highlights was in one of the games, we had the bases loaded. Kendall Graveman, who we traded to the Astros, was on the mound. And up comes the guy that we traded him for, Abraham Toro. And you talk about the rye bread and the mustard, Grandma. Abraham Toro hit the grand salami, the game-winning grand salami with Kendall Graveman on the mound. And, you know, I don't think you can have a better way to make it look like that trade was a success. You know, like people, and I get it. That was a hard trade to make. You know, Marco Gonzalez like cried afterwards. You know, there was, it posed a real threat to your clubhouse, and because he was a huge part of the bullpen, huge part of the team. And he was super upset leaving the team because he loved this team. And, you know, he might come back later, but it made a lot of sense. Kendall Graveman, we had half a year left on his contract. Abraham Toro is going to be with us for years, and he looks to be absolutely a solid addition to either play second or third base, you know, depending on what happens with Kyle Seager. But here they are still hanging around, still just a couple games back of the wild card. And this is, I mean, I am so excited for what this team could do and what they've been doing. Jerry DePoto and Scott Service getting the big extensions, which to me is huge. You had to extend those guys. They looked so good this year with what they've been doing. And, you know, it would have been easy as like for Jerry DePoto as a manager to say, you know what, I'm not on contract next year. Selling to the top farm system, by the way, in just a couple of years, selling the farm, selling out to try to get this year, because I need people to see that I can create a winning team. He didn't do that. He stayed the course. He's been developing guys. Scott Service has arguably been the best manager in baseball this season. He's taken, you know, this group of nobodies as a bullpen and turned them into one of the best bullpens by absolutely putting them in the best position to succeed every time. Every time. I mean, look at what Paul Sewald, he signed a minor league contract this year. He was a no one, had, you know, well over 4 or 5 ERA every single year. And this year he is one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball. He's putting people in positions to succeed. He's building a clubhouse mentality and atmosphere that is conducive to winning. And he's being patient with young guys. They're developing talent. I mean, they've just been doing such a good job. I'm so happy that they get extended. And Jerry DePoto, actually not just general manager now, he is officially on contract as the president of baseball operations, which is awesome. It means we don't have to worry about people from the business side mucking in the business. You know, he's basically direct working with John Stanton on these things now. So
like I said,
I'm excited about
this. Gone are the days of Seattle paper bags over our heads. And there were many years where we could legitimately go from one stadium to another with the same paper bag. And now the opposite is true. And exactly what you said, Josh, there is this culture of winning that is true with the Sounders, with the Seahawks, and with the Mariners. So it's really an exciting time
don't
to be
forget
a Seattle
the
sports fan.
Don't forget the Sea Wolves. They deserve their shot. And then, of course, we have we have the women's basketball team that,
well,
you know,
sure.
the Storm deserves a little hoopla as well, though I don't like their politics. They are a winning team. Good for them. Hey, this is where I just want to take a second and say thank you to Real Bearded Men. They are part of what makes My Michelle Live come to you as you're watching on the screen. You can go to mymichellelive.com and get a nice hefty discount and make sure your Real Bearded Man has Real Bearded Men products so his real beard can be really cool. Yeah, I just said that off the cuff, and I think that sounded pretty good. So there you go. Guys, one quick, really good news story that Rich sent out, as long as we're talking baseball. Did you hear about this, Josh? New York Yankees announcer John Sterling was pulled from his car that was flooding by a fellow broadcaster there in New York. They're not allowed to travel with the team because of COVID restrictions, and they're driving on their own. Well, John Snyder got into a bad situation. A fellow broadcaster, play-by-player, pulled him out of the car. That was a pretty cool story. Did anyone hear that?
I did not hear that one.
Yeah, I read. Yeah, it was their Hispanic radio broadcaster. So John Sterling is the one. If you have like the MLB package, you ever watch a Yankee game, he's in his 80s. and they were broadcasting a Yankees road game, but they were broadcasting from Yankee Stadium, which then he was trying to drive home because of COVID. The radio announcers aren't traveling with the team, as he said, but driving home through the flooded streets, and he got stuck. And Susan Waldman, who is John Sterling's radio partner, found out that her 80-year-old colleague was stuck in the flood and called the Hispanic radio broadcaster, who went and searched him out, found him in the flood, and got him out of his car and got him home.
Yeah, so that is such a good news story.
These different broadcasting crews.
And, you know, honestly, you do kind of get chummy as you work in the press box. You get to know these people. And wow, what a story. That leads us to our final shot.
Final shot.
Final shot, going around the round table, giving a final shout out. We're going to start with Garrick Pang. Pang us.
Well, mine's a pretty easy one for me, because I've watched these guys over the years, and it's been exciting to see their own development. Just a few years ago, they were just a pair of high school brothers playing in Southern California. Now they play for one of the top MLS clubs, and they competed also. We didn't mention this today, but in the MLS All-Star game, both of them as starters of in that game, or I think they were both starting. But anyway, and now
yep, they did. It was the first time brothers had ever started together in a All-Star match.
And now playing for the U.S. and El Salvador national team. So Christian and Alex Roldan, you get my final shot. My shout out goes to you.
I do like it. Let's go to Rich Hallstrom.
Let's go to the world of hockey once again. Kudos to the East Coast Hockey League, and specifically the Cincinnati Cyclones. They hired a brand new coach this week, Jason Payne, who becomes the only African-American head coach in North American professional hockey.
Right on. More people getting pinged. I like it. Let's go to Josh.
Man, I just got to do one more shout out to Jerry DePoto and Scott Service. I'm just like, I can't tell you how happy this was. Absolutely the right choice to make for this team. And he's the longest tenured coach. You see him getting passionate for his players. Even when Jared Kelnick got mad at an umpire for a bad call, which really honestly wasn't that bad of a call, but he was talking to him. And then Scott Service came out and defended his guy. You know, he probably went in with him afterwards and said, you can't do that. You can't, you're a young kid. You can't do that. But he still went out and publicly he supported him. And I just love it. And I'm happy to be a Mariners fan right now. People wanted to say, hey, you know what? It was over. We dropped a couple to the bad Royals team. At least they got us to football. And then here we are back again. They're making an exciting man. And I can't wait till next year when we're having some more of our prospects up and really starting to compete. So go M's.
I like it. Brent.
They didn't lose to the Royals. They lost to Salvador Perez.
Yes, that's true. I don't know who in the Mariners organization hurt Salvador Perez. That's my real question. Right. Who hurt you?
I bet you're glad, though, that our show is today and wasn't on Monday.
Right.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So I'm going to take a shot at this whole fiasco around Bishop Sycamore, not school. Managing to scam everybody into getting a game of theirs televised on ESPN. This guy who calls himself a coach, he doesn't deserve that title, but basically is using kids to get money in his pocket that comes from getting these big time games scheduled and putting these kids out there that had played 2 days earlier against IMG Academy, which that's not even really, I guess they do academics there, but talk about a school that was built for sports. The whole thing was ridiculous. To see these kids humiliated on national TV, ESPN not doing their homework, nobody really having any idea what was going on. So Bishop Sycamore and your coach, who's now on the run from the law, you can take a shot to you know where from me. If you want to read the details on that, The Athletic had a real good and lengthy in-depth piece on how this came about and what this guy's been up to for quite a few years. I wouldn't trust ESPN's reporting on this particular thing since they got scammed on it. But yeah, it's everything that is the underside, seamy part of amateur sports showed up
boom,
in this
right
one.
There in this story. My final shot goes to two-time Super Bowl champ Stefan Wisniewski. He is retiring from the NFL to go on to bigger and better things. What are those bigger and better things? He is going to be a pastor. So he's making a difference, and God bless him. When you are able to live your faith out both on and off the field and make that a priority, to me, that is a big win. That is the God story. Gentlemen, thanks for hanging out with us today. Have a great weekend. Watch a lot of sports. I love each and every one of you. And for those of you who are watching every day, we dig deep for the God story. Sometimes it's just a fun God story. Sometimes it's a life-changing God story. But you know what? God is in every issue. You can find him in every issue of the day and in every part of our lives. So go to My Michelle Live. You can like us, share us, and make sure that God story is being spread, because we need it today more than ever. It's a win-win. Guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Michelle.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.